prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Page 392. Though the sky be dark and drear, fierce and strong the gale, just remember He is near and He will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust His everlasting power. Jesus will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. He is the faithful one. Amen. Brother Bob, would you lead us in prayer, and then you come teach the lesson.
Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that You brought us here safely, health this morning. Ask that You would be with everyone in pain, everyone in the church that is dealing with health issues.
Amen.
Lord, give strength, give health. We give You the glory for it. Father, we ask that You would save the lost this morning.
Amen.
That You would teach all of us that are saved, that we'd hear from You, and You'd be glorified
yes.
in our lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. We have a temporary lull in everyone's travels. Be in prayer for Sister Pat, and Brother Keith, and Annie and Chaney somewhere in the next few months. All of them will be traveling somewhere. So, together in different combinations. So, pray for them all. I want to read this to you from Brother Frank James. This past month, we have remained busy and occupied with Sid's medical needs, and we are thankful that matters are proceeding as well as they are. She still has some other tests to attend, as well as appointments with other specialists. We are booked up weeks and months ahead. Nevertheless, we are thankful that we have a warm place to live during the winter months, as we are not equipped for cold and freezing weather. Yeah, they're not used to that over there in Australia. Although Sid still remains mostly confined to bed, we are seeing some improvement in her health, as her main specialist has already initiated a different treatment protocol. We remain grateful for the prayers of God's people and for the loving kindness of the Lord, trusting that He will continue to bring improvement from her lengthy illness to a better and fuller health and function. The Lord's work continues to be a matter of fervent prayer for Sid and me, as it is our desire to be faithful to fulfill our ministry in whatever remaining time the Lord has allotted us. So, I understand what the situation they're in, because we were there. We wanted to go back to the mission field, but Jenny's health was not looking like it was going to allow us. We continued praying and praying, praying we'd be able to go back, that, you know, somebody would just fix it. The chiropractor would snap it in right, or some surgery would alleviate all her pain and we can go back to the mission field. That was not the will of the Lord, and the Lord kept us in America. I don't know that that'll happen with them, of course. She may get better and enough to where they can go back to the mission field. But we shall see. That's in the hands of the Lord. I know that some people are churches. Some churches are concerned, and look, that's between them and the Lord, about continuing to support Brother Brother Frank and Sister Sid in the ministry there. And they can't guarantee they're going back. But, you know, it's, you have to have confidence in the Lord. Whatever the, you know, you're not giving to them personally, although it feels that way. You're giving to the work that the Lord's given them, the ministry the Lord's given them. And whatever ministry that is, I have confidence in the Lord, but also in Brother Frank, that when they're able, they will continue to serve him somewhere. And then when he settles, and you will see what his needs are. All right. So, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 50. The 50th Psalm. And verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. God is supreme. Now, that may feel like we're saying the same thing we've been saying, that he is omnipotent, that he is omniscient, that he is omnipresent. And all of that is true, but we've seen in the last several messages that God is God, that he is all those things. I think it's important that we look this morning in the fact that God is God, but we are not. And a lot of times people don't understand that. God can be God so long as he's not telling me what I got to do. In Romans 9, verse 20, I'll just read it. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Right. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God is God, and we are not. I mean, that's really the, I think, the most critical statement in today's society.
Correct.
Everybody thinks they're their own God. Everybody thinks that, and one definition for God is this: he who makes the rules. Now that's very simplified, and it's only one definition, but who gets to say what's right and what's wrong? You hear people say all the time, well, I just don't have any problem with that, or I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. I don't see anything in the world wrong with that. But you see, we don't make the rules. We don't decide what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, what's holy and what's wicked. God does.
Right.
This has a lot to do with submission, but you can't submit to God until you recognize that he should be submitted to. That we're not God. That he is God. That puts us in a position where we can submit. I mean, if God and I are on equal plane, then why would I need to submit to God? If I get to decide what's right and wrong, then God and I might agree on some things and disagree on other things. A lot of people live their life like that. But we have to recognize, and I say we, those that are saved, but really mankind in general, needs to recognize that God is God and we simply are not. Right. He is supreme. Turn back to Proverbs, this time to the 21st Proverb. Really, you could read.
In that verse that you read, the thing that sticks out at me is you thought I was like you.
Right, and man does. Man thinks, you know, I mean, God's got some good ideas. Yeah. But, you know, I got some good ideas too.
Great.
See, that's about equality. Man thinks they are equal with God.
At least sitting at the same council table, would he?
Yeah, at least sitting at the table. Right. So that, yeah, they might say, well, God is God and everything. I can't do everything God does. But the important thing is who decides what's right and wrong? Who decides what's good and bad?
And Brother Bob, that's why we have higher failure rates in marriages. People lose jobs because they can't submit to their boss because they think they're equal.
They think that way in everything, right. They don't see that they're, even in life, in the most simplest places, like in a work relationship, I've got a boss. My boss is pretty easy going. My secular boss. But still, if he says, I need you to do something, then I got to do it. It's not a question, well, I don't really think that needs to be done. I think that you need to rethink that. Or, I appreciate your input, but I'm not going to do that. That's the way man treats God.
Yeah.
I mean, they treat other men that way. Well, that's one thing. That's wrong. You still have to understand there is in life a hierarchy. There's a requirement to... How would it be in the military if the private told the staff sergeant, I don't think I'm going to do that. Well, I think you are, or you are going to jail. I mean, that's pretty simple. I think you're going to do it. Or you can, you know, you can go to a military. I've taken people to military jail. The stockade, call it prison. And it's not a fun experience, as I recall. And I was on the good side. I wasn't going to stay. I was just bringing them. And I didn't think it was a very pleasant experience.
A lot of times you can solve that by peer pressure. You put everybody in the group under pressure and they'll take care of
you. Yeah. I mean, it is a fact of life. But you know why it's a fact of life? Because we're depraved. It should be. There's just a normal hierarchy, a normal designation of responsibility. And it begins with God being supreme. Absolute. So if your boss tells you to do something, and now we got to make sure it actually does. Because a lot of times people say, well, I just don't think the Lord wants me to do that. That's not what I mean. If your boss tells you to do something, it's not immoral, it's not unethical, then the most important thing to consider is, does it defy the Word of God? Remember when the apostles were beaten and they were told, now, don't you preach this Jesus anymore. They said, who are we going to obey? God or man? I mean, and that was not a question. It was rhetorical. They were making the point, I got to listen to God, not to you. But a lot of times people don't like things. They'll just say, well, I don't think the Lord wants me to do that. You know, I don't think the Lord wants me to get up this morning. I don't think the Lord wants me to wash that. I don't think the Lord wants me to, you know, they don't, I don't think the Lord wants me to stay here because they don't want to stay. That's not what I mean. But God is supreme. When God says, thou shalt not, then thou shalt not. And there's nobody that can tell you otherwise. He is the absolute determiner of right and wrong, of what you must do and not do. Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. So, the supreme leader of your country, whatever that might be, prime minister in some places, president in some places still have kings. God is supreme over them. There is no, even though we have a hierarchy in human society so that we have order, and that's created by God, but God is supreme over all that. You have an ungodly leader that says you can't preach the gospel, that you can't meet to worship God. You ignore that person because God has said what we shall do and what we shall not do. He turneth it, okay, well, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but he thinks they know what's right. Yeah. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So, he's talking about hypocrites here. There's lots of people that, you know, claim to love the Lord and all. They'll talk about Jesus all the time. But they don't live a life that follows Christ. That's not submitting to God. That's just making a show of it. Those are those people that say, oh, I love the Lord, but you know, I don't think he wants me to do anything that would make me unhappy. I don't think he wants me to do anything I don't want to do, is what that translates to. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but every one that is hasty only to want. And this goes back to whatever seemeth right in a man's heart. You know, laziness comes from what I don't want to do. Lack and unhappiness comes from laziness, whether it be physical or spiritual. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Again, we have right and wrong. Not only are we supposed to be diligent in serving the Lord and submitting to Him, but we have to do it His way. You know, people think, well, I'm going to serve the Lord, but what they mean is they're going to do it their way. And you can't serve the Lord your way unless your way is submitted to His way. And then we're good. That's the same thing. But it's got to be God's way. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The life that we live in service to God is righteous and is good. But when we try to do that which is not righteous and not good, it is not service to God. The way of a man is froward and strange. That is our own will, self-will. But as for the pure, his work is right. Not because he's pure, his work is right, but because his work is right, he is pure. He is obedient to God. The work is pure when it is in obedience to God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, this is one I think has already even been mentioned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So whatever you think is right, you just stop for a minute and find out what God says is right. Unless, again, you found out first what God said is right, and that's what you think is right. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Army, I have often told a young private, if I wanted your opinion, I'd give it to you. You know, Sergeant, I don't think we... stop. If I wanted your opinion, I'll give it to you. Now, that's perhaps a bit harsh, but necessary in the military because you can't have people questioning orders unless they're wrong, like immoral, illegal, unethical. But with God, you know everything he says is right. You don't have to question... little computer running, is this legal? Is this moral? Is this ethical? I don't have to worry about any of that.
Right, because he is right.
All I got to find out is, what did God say? And then submit to that because he is supreme. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, God said this. This is what's right. That's now my opinion. It doesn't sound like you're doing much thinking. It doesn't sound like you're giving mankind a lot of credit, and that would be correct. We are fallen. We are unable. We are like little babes. Now, I know we might think that we're capable of a lot of things. Anything we're capable of, God has given us the ability to do. You might be able to do things that other people cannot do, but again, that is from God. But God is supreme. You're not being a robot. A robot can only do what they're told to do. Even... You know, people talk about how AI is going to take over the world. The problem is, that's only if somebody, if the input teaches them to do that. And then it's still the will of the person that's inputting.
There's not an ability to be self-controlled.
In AI. But it's really the same way with man. There's not the ability or the capability. You say they're about the same thing. Well, they are about the same thing. But what I mean is, we don't have the... We've only got a little bitty brain. And we only use about a tenth of that. We just don't have the wisdom of God. We don't know. So, God, give me my opinion. What's your opinion about this? Well, I haven't thought about it. Let me find out. And you know where you go, right? The Word of God. And find out what your opinion is on that. God even links his immutability and his supremacy And immutability and supremacy, they go hand in hand, because since God's always right, then he can never change. There's no need to change. God is always right. God is supreme. And he's not just some kind of a dictator that says, you've got to do things my way. See, that can happen in our hierarchy in humankind. But with God, he's always right. He's always all the things that we've already looked at. Righteous and omnipotent and omniscient and immutable, holy. He's all these things. And so therefore, he is supreme. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. And of course, he is supreme in salvation.
Something that you've read comes to mind and answers the question.
Absolutely. You know, I've had things answered just, you know, I didn't know, and I'm praying about it, and I read the Bible, and I find, oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. Even if that verse might not primarily lead that, it's clear from the Word of God that this is, I'm following the Word of God if I do this. Wherein God willing more abundantly, verse 17, chapter 6 of Hebrews, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. See, God can't be wrong. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have seen, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, the hope that we have is Christ, who enters into the veil, who is righteous, who is worthy. Whether the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So there's a lot here, and there's a lot of different things to preach from this, and certainly immutability is one of them, also the priesthood of Christ. But we learn this: God doesn't change because he's always right. And so our salvation is secure. God intended to save us. He saved us. God is always right. And God never changes his mind. And we, as the elect of God, are secure.
Right.
It's not just immutability. His immutability is tied to his supremacy. You see, that he has to be immutable if he's supreme, truly supreme. Not just the highest level,
right. But
the infinite level, perfect, righteous, holy. Why would there be any change to that which is perfect? And it's tied to his omniscience, because he knows all. It's not like this might have been the right thing for them. I've heard people say about different passages in the Bible, well, that was right for them, but for now, it's different now. If God has said, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery. God knew about how society was going to decay. God knew all about that. He's always right. The world changes, but God doesn't change. He is supreme. And he's supreme in salvation, so there's never a need to change because he's right in what he does.
Yep.
And we are secure. There's great comfort for the saved, but there's also terror for the lost in his supremacy. Ezekiel 8 in verse 18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. You see, because he's right. And so those that break his laws and do not repent, do not have Christ's blood to cleanse them, well, he's right in their condemnation.
Yep.
Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, you say, God doesn't hear them? There's a difference between not wanting to suffer. You know how little kids are. They get sorry when they get caught. And they don't want to pay the price, whatever that might be, for what they've done.
Mm-hmm. A lot of adults.
Exactly. I was going to say, adults are the same way. There's plenty of people in prison that are sorry. Oh, they're sorry they got caught and are going to have to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's the kind of cry in his ears that he does not hear. They don't want to suffer, but they still love their sin. They don't want to obey God, they just don't want to suffer for sin.
Right. Right. That's right.
They don't want to submit to God and love God. They don't want to be cleansed with the blood of Christ. They just don't want to suffer. Yet, will I not hear them? There's a lot of verses in the Bible that some people will try to use to scare the lost. But I'll tell you, this amongst a couple of other verses, that's really the terror. They'll desire that a mountain would fall on them and cover them so they wouldn't have to see the glory of God that they've offended. Mm. They don't want to repent. I mean, that'd be the smart choice, right? You see God, you see your sin, and you repent to God. Call out to him. But no, they don't want that. They just want to be hidden from him, as if they could, and they can't. They desire the mountain to fall on them, but it won't hide them.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, and that verse says, hide them from the face.
That's right.
Remember, Moses couldn't behold his face.
From the glory, of God.
Amen.
That they have sinned against, that they have offended. All right, we're going to end a little early, because we have do a financial statement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We are grateful to you that you are supreme. And that means in our lives, whatever you're doing is right.
Yeah.
And we submit to you. We recognize that. We trust you because you are supreme. And you can be trusted. Lord, we ask that you'd bless Brother Frank and Sister Sid. There's many others that we're praying for. Of course, Jenny's surgery, we're praying for Kathy and Neil. We're praying for Sister Trulene. Pray for others that are in need of physical strength and health. Lord, there's so many in other churches. We think of Brother Hilly. So many of it that need your healing. Lord, give them strength to recognize. It's easy for me to say because I'm not in their situation, but it is still true that you are supreme. And Lord, bless Frank and Sid that they would, and I believe they do recognize that, but they would be reminded that you're supreme, that what you do is good, and whatever you have for them is your will, and your will is right. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The first verse you started off with, right up the next verse under that new psalm, it says, at least he'd get angry and tear you to pieces.